RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Voice of Indonesia, siaran internasional Radio Republik Indonesia di Jakarta, menghadirkan berita dan informasi aktual serta hiburan. Anda dapat mendengarkan siaran kami setiap hari di frekuensi SW15150952511785 kHz, program Bahasa Indonesia, atau mendengarkan audio on demand di id.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, headlines, newspaper, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. KPI, technology becomes today's priority of national television industry. Each country has strict regulation in deciding program content. Indonesian Air Force to start modernizing weaponry in 2016. Now the news in details. Vice Chairman of Indonesian Broadcasting Commission's KPI, ED Mozayat, said that technology should be a priority for television industry in Indonesia. Currently, according to ED, television technology has changed from analog to digital. Thus, Indonesia should have the base for the migration process from analog to digital TV.
All countries have to migrate from analog to digital. Indonesia inevitably also has to welcome it. So technologically, we have led over there, the migration to digital. Only the base must be strong. Then it must be based on the law on broadcasting. Now, the process of change is being discussed in the Broadcasting Law Commission 1. I think it is our homework to resolve. Let's say this year it has passed, but at least it will be discussed again next year and then be resolved so that we have a foundation for migration to digital TV.
ED added that KPI hopes in terms of content the social responsibility functions of television is increasing in carrying out healthy educational information and entertainment functions. According to ED, television should become agents of change in society into a better direction. It can be achieved by producing quality programs relevant with the concept of education. In the framework of World Television Day, the Commission hopes that producers and broadcasters can further improve the quality of broadcasting content that fulfill programs relevant to the public interest and the interest of education and entertainment. In addition, the Indonesian Broadcasting Commission KPI also asked the public to have media literacy and to be more critical on the contents of television programs. Each country has its own regulation in deciding the content of television program. Even it must be obeyed guide before the program broadcasted. It was said by television presenter of Tanzania, Abdallah, to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, related to the International Television Day commemorated every November 21st, 2015. He said that his country has strict regulation on the content of television program, which is aimed at maintaining the norm and culture in his country.
If we have foreign programs such as movies from
Moreover, Abdallah expects that Indonesian television companies can bring forward the fruitful program content for many people. He said never let the tradition and local culture lose because of the foreign spread cultural effect. If we have foreign programs such as movie from somewhere else, we must censor it. If the section we have foreign, we have local content sometimes. We have foreign content and we buy content from abroad. But we must censor it before it goes on air, the movie, which we have from outside and local movies also we have. So our tradition wants to live our cultural norms. Indonesian Air Force will improve its weaponry during the 2016-2019 period to secure Indonesian territory. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Air Force Chief of Staff Marshal Agus Supriyatna said that the Air Force plans to buy more modern weaponry during the 2016-2019 period. The government will provide funds to the Indonesian Air Force to modernize its weaponry, including for the purchase of a squadron of new jet fighters to replace the aging F-5E Tiger jet fighters. He also said the Indonesian Air Force will purchase modern jet fighters with option including the F-16 or Sukhoi Su-35 aircraft. In addition, Indonesia will also purchase transport helicopters, heavy transport aircrafts, and multi-role aircraft that can be operated to assist in search and rescue efforts and to extinguish fires. Agus explained that Indonesia plans to purchase Beriev BE-200 amphibious aircraft that can lift 15 tons of water to put out fires. The Indonesian Air Force will also add more radar equipment to monitor its airspace. Indonesian State Intelligence Agency BIN Chief Sutioso has said global cooperation was the key to overcome the issues of terrorism. As quoted by Antara News Agency, he said that all the people are all aware that terrorism has become a global threat and therefore there is no other way to overcome it besides global cooperation. The cooperation to combat terrorism is not only between Asian countries but globally. Furthermore, before the Paris attack, he had been to China, Australia, the Middle East, the United States, and the Singapore-based Asian Intelligence Community, AIC. Terrorism is the common problem. All individuals must be the eyes and ears of BIN. He further said that in the face of terror, the public should not panic, but be vigilant and cooperative with the authorities. Islam in Indonesia has been moderate and tolerant since hundreds of years. This news comes to you from RRI's World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia is the world's largest Muslim population nation and also home to the followers of other religions such as Christianity, Catholicism, Buddhism, Hinduism and Confucianism. The country has a long history that dates back to the ancient kingdoms which have left their monumental remnants, such as the Borobudur and Prambanan temples in central Java. Being multi-religion and multi-ethnic, Indonesia has several cultural attractions to offer to the tourist. Apart from its natural beauty, Bali is the country's most famous tourist destination, known for its beautiful beach and unique Hindu cultures and arts. The country also has several other destinations to offer to tourists keen to undertake pilgrimage visits, either to the followers of Islam, Buddhism, Christianity, or Confucianism. But most of the attractions are still not managed and promoted properly. Considering to this case, Tourism Minister Arif Yahya said that his ministry will improve the management of pilgrimage tourism attractions with the assistance of every stakeholders. He will focus on the marketing, destinations and human resources. Indonesia has officially joined the International Energy Agency IEA as an associate member in an effort to ensure better energy development in Indonesia. Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Sudirman has reported to President Joko Widodo the result of Energy Ministerial Meeting and the IEA Members Meeting held from 17 to 18 of November 2015 in Paris, France. Indonesia has joined the IEA as an associate member along with China, Mexico and Chile. He also added that Thailand is also applying to become an IEA member. The countries are welcoming Indonesia very well. The IEA committee said there is no country that can secure its energy needs all by itself. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Minister Sudirman said, Indonesia needs to have more cooperation in the energy sector. By following two international energy organizations, namely the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC, and IEA, Indonesia can develop its wider energy potentials. Similarly, he said Indonesia will have two energy communities, such as the Oil and Gas Producers Association and those in the renewable energy sector. PT Industri Kereta Api Inka in Madiun East Java has won a bid to build 150 units of passengers coaches worth $72 million in Bangladesh. The Commercial and Technology Director of the State-Owned Railway Industry, Yunendar Aryo Handoko, said PT Inka won the tender because PT Inka could meet technical as well as quality requirements sought by the government of Bangladesh. He said the price offered by Pitinka could also compete with what was quoted by rivals from China and India. Bangladesh could not meet the price offered by Japan and a number of European countries. Unindar said the tender contract was received in November 2014 and deliveries would be made in stages until the end of 2016. In the initial stage, 11 of the 150 coaches ordered would be delivered in February 2015. He also said constructions of the coaches to be delivered as the first tranche was 70% over, and he was optimistic that the first delivery would be made in February 2016. Listener, that was the news from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the week press review. Various important events that occurred this week are summarized in the week press review compiled from some newspaper published in Jakarta. Let's start with Kompas newspaper, which in its editorial on Wednesday writes open and finish it. The alleged involvement of a high-ranking House of Representative member as an intermediary for the extension of PT Freeport Indonesia concession agreement has become a new political issue. In the era of transparent digital democracy, transcripts of a conversations between the House member, MS, an official of Freeport Indonesia, and MR, an oil businessman, has been widely circulated. Although there has been no confirmation of the transcript authenticity, a number of names have been mentioned. And since this has been submitted to the House's Council of Honor, it is the duty of the House Court of Honor to follow up on the matter. According to Kompas, the Court Honor Board was given the task of enforcing the law to maintain the honor and dignity of the House of Representatives. The quick move of the House Court to call on stakeholders is necessary so that the public is aware about the problem. The member of parliament, businessmen, and officials involved must be summoned by the court. Kompas writes, this case is the right moment for the court to uphold the honor of the House member. Turning to the Tempo newspaper on Thursday, this daily writes assertiveness in defending KPK. The attitude of Parliament, the House of Representatives, that insisted on inserting a revision of Law No. 30 of 2002 on the Corruption Eradication Commission, or KPK, as a priority program of the national legislation on 2016 period in a plenary meeting on Monday is truly outrageous. According to Koran Tempo, it is difficult to not accuse politicians in the parliament for unable to resist their political desire to stifle the Corruption Eradication Commission KPK. Parliament's bedside shall be wary, given last October Parliament and the President had agreed to postpone the discussion of the revision of the law. Previously, Minister of Law and Human Rights, together with the House Legislation Agency, had talked about a few changes, such as about wiretapping law, the prosecution, the establishment of the supervisory board, and the strengthening of the principle of institutional collective collegial until the tenure of the commission commissioners. Clearly, revision on the clauses indicate the intention of the House to weaken the KPK. Therefore, according to Koran Tempo, the firmness of the President in defending the Commission is important, given President Joko Widodo is determined to build a clean government and will not tolerate any kind of corruption. It is time for the President to fulfill his promise during his campaign to firmly defend and strengthen the Corruption Eradication Commission. So let's end the week press review with Media Indonesia, which on Monday writes, "Breaking the Spiral of Violence." The attack in Paris on Friday night has turned into terror, producing fear not only for the citizens of France and Europe, but also for the world. Just imagine, the attack occurred in a number of public spaces simultaneously. According to Media Indonesia, that means that such attacks could occur anytime in public spaces anywhere in any country, including Indonesia. To dampen public fears, the state is obliged to provide security to its citizens. Violence seems to be used to solve many problems. In fact, it will only produce another violence. The attackers, thought to have come from the ISIS group, claimed their attacks were in retaliation for the violence and injustice inflicted upon them by the West group. After the attacks, France has requested the support of other countries to pursue and uncover the actor behind the attack. Media Indonesia warned European countries and other countries also not to use excessive force in an attempt to uncover the actor behind the attack. According to this daily, world leaders, including President Joko Widodo, have condemned the attack in Paris. However, the most severe condemnation will not guarantee further violence be repeated without the painstaking efforts of world leaders to create justice for all. That was this week's press review. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on November 21, 1992, when seven ex-Warsaw Pact countries joined NATO. Eastern European countries Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Bulgaria, Romania, Slovakia, and Slovenia finally accepted and joined NATO after previously volunteered to become members of NATO. The integration of the countries of former Warsaw Pact marked 10 years after the collapse of the Soviet Union and a symbol of the collapse of communism and the strengthening position of NATO. But the terrorist threat and intervention in Afghanistan has given new meaning to NATO force in the international community. And the next event was in 1995 when Dayton Agreement ended in Bosnian War. The General Framework Agreement for Peace in Bosnia and Herzegovina, also known as the Dayton Agreement, Dayton Accords, Paris Protocol, or Dayton-Paris Agreement, is the peace agreement reached at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base near Dayton, Ohio, United States, in November 1995, and formally signed in Paris on December 14, 1995. These accords put an end to the 3.5-year-long Bosnian War, one of the Yugoslav wars. And the last event was in 2005 when Angela Dorothy Merkel was appointed Germany's first female chancellor. Angela Dorothy Merkel is a German politician and former research scientist who has been the chancellor of Germany since 2005 and the leader of the Christian Democratic Union CDU since 2000. She is the first woman to hold either office. Having earned a doctorate as a physical chemist, Merkel entered politics in the wake of the revolutions of 1989, briefly serving as a deputy spokesperson for the first democratically elected East German government in 1990. Following German reunification in 1990, she was elected to the Bundestag for Stralsund Nordvorpommern-Rügen in the state of Mecklenburg-Vorpommern. In the state of Mecklenburg-Vorpommern, a seat she has held ever since. She was later appointed as the Minister for Women and Youth in 1991 under Chancellor Helmut Kohl, later becoming the Minister of the Environment in 1994. After Kohl was defeated in 1998, she was elected Secretary General of the CDU before becoming the party's first female leader 2 years later in the aftermath of a donation scandal that toppled Wolfgang Schäuble. Following the 2005 federal election, she was appointed Germany's first female chancellor at the head of a grand coalition consisting of the CDU, its Bavarian sister party, the Christian Social Union CSU, and the Social Democratic Party of Germany SPD. And listeners, that was Today in History.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. Daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Today, it's on Jakarta Police Chief Guarantees Foreign Representative Security. Metro Jaya Police Chief General Tito Karnavian said the series of bomb blasts and shootings in the city of Paris, France, was claimed by ISIS, caused some worries among the ambassadors of friendly countries who live in the capital city, Jakarta. He asked how big the potential of terrorist actions in Jakarta to the Metro Jaya Police Chief. Therefore, on Wednesday, Metro Jaya Police Chief General Tito Karnavian invited ambassadors in Jakarta to discuss the potential for terrorism in jurisdiction of Polda Metro Jaya. The meeting themed Jakarta Police Chief Briefing on Terrorism to Foreign Missions in Jakarta took place in the main hall Metro Jaya Regional Police Headquarters. Observer of terrorism from the Institute for Policy and Conflict Analysis, Sydney Jones, was also present and presented some discussion material. As many as 36 representatives of embassies and consulate generals attended the event, including ambassadors from France, Turkey, Canada, Egypt, Denmark, Belgium, the Philippines, Jordan, the European Union, and Japan. Police Chief Tito Karnavian said such forums are more effective than having to explain in details about the police analysis regarding the condition of the embryo terrorist on its territory one by one. According to him, people who are mapped into the network of Islamic militants in the jurisdiction of the Jakarta police do not yet have the capability to carry out acts of terror such as in Paris, France last week. In essence, Jakarta is still a safe place, said Tito. Although police have not sniffed the movement of terrorist groups in Jakarta and buffer areas, Tito still will step up security at embassies. He also asked them to do the same, since one of the favorite targets of terrorist attacks in Indonesia are places inhabited by foreign nationals. Meanwhile, Director of Institute for Policy and Conflict Analysis, Sydney Jones, explained, since 2009, the Indonesian police ability to detect terrorist embryo is growing rapidly. Surveillance against terrorist groups is even more stringent, so that the space for militants to develop is increasingly narrow. But the worry is if the militants eventually develop their terror capability to Syria, said Jones. Although the analysis of the current states of Indonesia, especially Jakarta, is safe from possible acts of terrorism, Sydney recalled that the security forces must continue to be vigilant. Because the data she has, many Indonesian citizens have joined ISIS and allegedly the war training in Syria. There is a possibility after the training they will return to Indonesia with much more professional terror capabilities. Jakarta Police itself noted that there are 384 Indonesian citizens who have joined ISIS radical group. Well, that was Focus Today. I'm Anatri Jayakasi, Voice of Indonesia. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with headline of national newspapers published in Jakarta today, November the 21st, 2015. First is Kompas Daily, which headlines read, Terrorism Anticipation Tightened. National Counterterrorism Agency BNPT is strengthening cooperation with various parties to anticipate acts of terror. The agency also prioritizes securing locations vulnerable becoming the target of terrorist acts by the end of 2015. The agency chief, Commissioner General Saud Usman Nasution, said security priority consists of, among others, places of worship, places of entertainment, hotels, and residential centers. He said this involves the security authorities from the local government to the neighborhood. Next is Republika newspaper, which headlines read, Golkar supports Novanto. Golkar party gave support to House Speaker Setia Novanto related cases of profiteering the president's and vice president's name in contract negotiations with PT Freeport Indonesia, while honorary counsel of the parliament will process this case. Chairman of the Golkar Party faction Ade Komarudin asserted his faction will provide assistance to Novanto. Ade said that Novanto is a Golkar Party cadre. Therefore, he added, when a member is in trouble, he should be assisted. Last is the headline of Sindo Daily, which headline read, The World Under Threat of Terrorism. Acts of terrorism occurred again. Yesterday, gunmen stormed the Radisson Blue Hotel, a luxury hotel filled with foreign nationals in the capital of Mali, Bamako. They took 170 people into hostage. The incident that lasted several hours ended dramatically. No less than 27 people known to have died. The number of victims identified after Mali Special Forces assisted by the United States and France performed a rescue operation. A UN peacekeeping force member told the New York Daily News that by the end of the bloody attack, 27 bodies were found in the hotel. Well, that was headlines of today's Jakarta newspaper, brought to you by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Voice of Indonesia, siaran internasional Radio Republik Indonesia di Jakarta. Menghadirkan berita dan informasi aktual serta hiburan. Anda masih bersama kami di RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Frekuensi SW15150, 9525, 11785 kHz, program siaran Bahasa Indonesia. Anda juga dapat mendengarkan siaran kami melalui internet di id.voi.co.id.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. Indonesian Air Force will improve its weaponry during the 2016-2019 period to secure Indonesian territory. Indonesian State Intelligence Agency BIN Chief Sutioso has said global cooperation was the key to overcome the issues of terrorism. Indonesia is the world's largest Muslim population nation and also home to the followers of other religions, such as Christianity, Catholicism, Buddhism, Hinduism, and Confucianism. Indonesia has officially joined the International Energy Agency, EIA, as an associate member in an effort to ensure better energy development in Indonesia. PT Industri Kereta Api Inka in Madiun, East Java, has won a bid to build 150 units of passenger coaches worth $72 million in Bangladesh. Listener, that was news in brief of our RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuku Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Kawin Culik tradition or bride kidnapping tradition. Stay tuned. Listener, kidnapping in any country is considered as negative action or crime. But for Sasak people in West Nusa Tenggara province, kidnapping, especially in a wedding process, is considered normal and part of their wedding tradition. Before getting married, usually the future groom will kidnap his future bride. For Sasak tribe, the kidnapping action is an important thing to prove the masculinity of a man. But of course, the kidnapping bride by the groom is done based on rules that have been agreed through customary institution. Kidnapping is the process of marriage among Sasak community is then known as Kawin Culik or bride kidnapping tradition. The bride kidnapping will take place after the girl chooses one of her lovers. They will make a deal when the kidnapping will be carried out. An agreement between the girl as a bride by her kidnapper should really be kept secret to preserve the possibility of failure, but other things, such as a trip by another man who also has desire to propose the girl. That's why kidnapping at noon is strictly prohibited by customary for fear the kidnapping at noon will easily be known by many people, including rivals of the kidnappers who also want the girl to be his wife. In addition, this kidnapping must be kept secret and must not be known by the girl's parent. To do this action, there are some rules. Not any girls can be involved in this tradition. One of absolute requirements for the bride kidnapping tradition is the girl must be 16 years. After being kidnapped, usually the girl is run away to her prospective husband's family, which is far from the girl's or man's village. Then, at night, it is also continued with Mangan Merangkat event, a traditional ceremony to welcome the girl at prospective husband's home. It is officially a ceremony of entering the girl in her prospective husband's family. Then, Mangan Merangkat is held. This event is begun by Totok Telok, namely prospective bride breaks an egg together on the offerings. Totok Belok is a symbol of ability of prospective husband to live with his wife. Listener, in the morning, the family of prospective husband will come to the girl's house to inform that their girl is proposed by their son. This event is called Mas Sejatik or Nyelabar. The main purpose of Mas Sejatik is a media to discuss the continuing traditional wedding and all necessary things in the wedding. The traditional wedding is called Sorong Doe, where the entourage of the family bridge groom will come to the residence of the girl's parents. The entourage Sorong Doe is called Nyongkol. The peak event of Sorong Doe is about financial proposal which is asked by the girl's parents to welcome Penyongkol, which is called Kepeng Tagih or the bill. Another money bill is also Kepeng Pelengkak, namely the money bill from the bride's big brother who is not married yet. The wedding will be held on Berugak or Bale-Bale and surrounded by the people. Gendang Belek, Lombang traditional music, will accompany the wedding. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Kawin Culik or Bride Kidnapping Tradition. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Mr. Lenny.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing the World Television Day. So stay tuned, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this broadcast through www.voi.co.id. The 21st of November is named as World Television Day by UN Resolution on December 17, 1996. For the people of Indonesia, television has become an integral part of the history of the nation, especially during the political reform. Though in the past, television was often regarded as a luxury item, today it is not anymore. TV can be found in almost every home in Indonesia. A variety of the latest news updates and a variety of entertainment programs are aired 24 hours non-stop by various TV stations. It cannot be denied that in certain ways, TV has been able to surpass the golden era of big screen that in the 90s had become one of the alternative entertainment media. But how many TV owners know that today, November the 21st, is World Television Day? The increasing number of private television stations in Indonesia has brought a lot of impact in people's life, whether positive or negative. Their presence is often raises the pros and cons in society. On the one hand, the public is satisfied by the presence of those who deliver entertainment and information, but on the other hand, they often receive condemnation from the public because the television images that are less acceptable to the public or specific individuals. However, television has become a necessity in today's society. Well, that was Miss Eleni of her Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miss Eleni on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Mariati, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In addition to shortwave 9525 kHz, you can also listen to this program through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id or through mobile application RRI Play and RRI World Service on your smartphones. In today's edition, I'll introduce you to Pelangi or Rainbow Band. It is common for Indonesian new music band to choose pop rock genre as their first debut in musical industry in Jakarta, capital city. But Pelangi Band offers different genre. The band from Samarinda, East Kalimantan, which consists of Izong vocalist, Rian guitarist, Andri guitarist, Julian bassist, and Junot drummer, chooses to combine a Dayak native ethnic musical element, which is wrapped with pop rock music. VOI listeners, let's listen to a song entitled Ingin Selalu Ada, or in English means Always to Be There.
Demi hari telah ku lewati bersama dirimu, dan takkan mati menjalani cinta bersamamu.
selamanya.
There is uniqueness in Pelangi Band music because they play Dayak traditional musical instrument, namely sampuk, which has a form like a guitar. According to Izong, the vocalist, they play the ethnic instrument to have special character. The songs of Pelangi Band entitled Ingin Selalu Ada are always to be there, and Bintang Bintang or the stars are thick in ethnic nuance. Izong added that playing traditional instrument is not only to enrich music, but also to preserve the culture. VOI listeners, let's listen to a song from Pelangi Band entitled Hidup Dalam Mimpi or Living in a Dream.
Masih dapat aku rasa tatap manismu di sini, rapuh dan tegar ku rasa indah. Mungkin hanya aku, bukanlah dirimu bintang. Coba pancarkan rinduku menanti tetap. Ku menanti sampai engkau kembali, sampai nafasku terhenti. Ku akan menunggu seperti ini. Sampai semua berakhir, sampai nafasku berhenti, ku relakan hidup dalam mimpi. Mungkin hanya aku, bukanlah dirimu bintang. Coba sampai engkau kembali, sampai nafasku terhenti, ku akan menunggu seperti ini. Ku menanti sampai semua berakhir, hingga jantungku berhenti, ku relakan hidup dalam.
That was a song by Pelangi Band. Listeners, concerning the name of their band, the personnel of Pelangi Band said that it is very simple and has special story. In the past, when they firstly performed, it was always raining and there was a pelangi, or in English means rainbow. It has inspired them to use pelangi to become the name of their band. They hope they can get better future and will start their musical career in Jakarta. They think if they are successful in Jakarta, they will also be successful in Indonesia. VOA listeners, to conclude Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last song of Pelangi Band entitled Perjalanan or The Journey.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Kau pernah melukai aku. Ku sadar itu. Kau pernah meninggalkan aku, dan ku sadar semua itu. Tak pernah ku sangka dirimu tak bisa cintaiku. Jika ku tetap mengharap dirimu, mungkin itu maumu. Bodohnya diriku selalu menunggumu, yang tak pernah untuk bisa mencintai aku. Oh Tuhan, tolonglah beri aku cara untuk dapat melupakan dia dan cinta. Cintaiku, jika ku tetap mengharap dirimu, mungkin itu maumu. Bodohnya diriku selalu menunggumu, yang tak pernah untuk bisa mencintai.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Voice of Indonesia, siaran internasional Radio Republik Indonesia di Jakarta. Menghadirkan berita dan informasi aktual serta hiburan. Anda masih bersama kami di RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Frekuensi SW15150, 9525, 11785 kHz, programa siaran bahasa Indonesia. Anda juga dapat mendengarkan siaran kami melalui internet di id.voi.co.id.
Telah lama ku menyimpan perasaanku untukmu, tak berani ku katakan semua. Sejujurnya ku merasa hatiku ini untukmu, namun kau tetap tak pedulikannya. Kau
sangat ku cinta, tapi tak bisa ku miliki. Dan kau yang aku sayang, memang tak bisa aku semua. Sejujurnya ku merasa hatiku ini untukmu, namun kau tetap tak pedulikannya. Tapi tak bisa ku miliki.
Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Voice of Indonesia, siaran internasional Radio Republik Indonesia di Jakarta, menghadirkan berita dan informasi aktual serta hiburan. Anda dapat mendengarkan siaran kami setiap hari di frekuensi SW15150 9525 11785 kHz, program Bahasa Indonesia, atau mendengarkan audio on demand di id.voi.co.id. Kirimkan kritik dan saran ke alamat email kami mail.voi.co.id, atau layangkan surat ke Siaran Bahasa Indonesia, Voice of Indonesia, Siaran Internasional Radio Republik Indonesia, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat nomor 4 dan 5 Jakarta, atau PO Box 1157 Jakarta 1-800-11-11 Indonesia. Selain itu, bergabunglah bersama kami di Facebook Voice of Indonesia dan Twitter Voice Indonesia.